doing the whole 6010.
The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. We're on to week 10. Field Yates, Matthew Berry, Stefania Bell, and Kyle Soppy handling the Daniel Dopp role today and doing so admirably 30 seconds into this show. Good morning. Week 10 is upon us. And as is always the case, we are having a lot of moving parts prior to the show. And so rather than goofing around, let's get right to it. As just about 2 minutes before the show started, we got some news. And Stefania, I don't want to throw a curveball to you, but we got news related to the Pittsburgh Steelers and their franchise quarterback.
Right. So now we're hearing that Ben Roethlisberger has been added to the reserve COVID-19 list. He joins teammate Vance McDonald, who is the one that I was going to be talking about this morning. So the Steelers dealing with a couple of players coming into this week who potentially could not be available.
There's also a couple of members. There's also, Gerald Hawkins, who's on their line, and Jalen Samuels, the running back, have all been placed on the COVID-19
list. Vince Williams as well, one of their linebackers. And as a reminder, news broke yesterday, as Stefania just referenced, that Vance McDonald had tested positive for COVID-19. They played on Sunday. So, Stefania, if I have it sized up correctly, that would suggest that Vance McDonald tested positive during the round of testing conducted on Sunday morning, game day. Am I wrong in assuming as much? We're doing it.
I don't know which of the I would not assume yet.
Okay.
I would not assume those results, but they're the results that come in Monday morning. And
okay,
the players are away from the facilities on Mondays.
Yes.
That's standard.
Gotcha.
This season, but they do continue their testing even on days when they are not there.
The Cowboys, who played the Steelers on Sunday, have now entered the intensive protocol for COVID-19, which
right.
Basically half the league's in right now.
It feels that way, doesn't it? And I think, look, let's be honest. This is a reflection of what's happening in the country. You know, when the cases of COVID-19 are going up and, you know, the football's not in a bubble. They are trying to do the best they can in terms of making their facilities virus-free. And that's why you hear about when players test positive or staff test positive, they keep them away from the facility. But they are, by virtue of being at home and existing within their community, more exposed. So this is going to, I think, become more, we're just going to see more of this. They did well for the first few weeks, but as it rises in the country, it's going to rise in the NFL.
Long 8 weeks ahead is what I would say. All right, so just a couple of nitty-gritty points here. So it's Tuesday morning, which means that Ben, I believe we can safely say, was deemed a high-risk close contact.
Yeah.
As late as Monday. Same thing happened last week with Matthew Stafford.
Correct.
Of course, remember. So Matthew Stafford had to wait 5 days and test negative throughout those 5 days.
And then again on the sixth day, be negative coming in, and then he was available for Sunday's game.
Correct. People, same thing here. Just if you're asking us what logic to follow, go back to what we said last week regarding Matthew Stafford. That's part of it. Ben Roethlisberger's also banged up with a couple of bothersome knees. They play the Bengals on Sunday.
The Bengals also dealing with some active
COVID-19
cases.
Well,
right. So you've got, this is really interesting in that where you've got a number of moving parts on both teams. And we haven't seen this in a while.
Yep,
and a very small detail, but the game is in Pittsburgh. So at least there's not the question of like, can he travel with the team? Like, because when they have to leave Friday, he may not have been cleared yet, but at least the game is in Pittsburgh. Obviously it's a story we'll track all week long. There's two things that immediately jump out. First off, obviously, you would love to have him for Cincinnati. This is a great matchup. Like, you'd love to have Big Ben, period, but especially against the Bengals. The other thing is that, you know, we look at what Matthew Stafford did last week, and I'm not saying Roethlisberger is Stafford.
Yeah.
And it was a weird game because Dalvin Cook ran so much, and then Chase Daniel came in towards the end. But the fact is that...
Yeah, I'm not sure it matters.
Well... here's what I will say, but okay, Here's why I'm saying it. I think it might potentially, and you can argue with me if you don't think it does, but I'm going to say is that what's going to happen is that all the preparation for this game now is going to be done like via Zoom, mm-hmm, with Ben isolated from his teammates, right? He's not going to be out there throwing. He's not going to be in the weight room or anything like that. He's going to be like in a hotel room, or I guess at his house on Zoom. And like, That's not ideal. That's not the ideal way to prep for a game. Ben is a veteran enough quarterback. It's a good enough matchup, and he's been in this offense long enough that ultimately he'll probably be fine. But you add this and the lack of preparation to the fact that his knee got banged up on Sunday against the Cowboys, and maybe a lower expectations for Ben this Sunday if he plays, which is still at the moment a question.
Yeah, I'd say maybe lower expectations a little bit. I am having a hard time right now. We've got sort of one very obvious case of a team being completely unbothered by all the time missed. The Titans had one walkthrough and trounced the Bills on Tuesday Night Football. So it's hard for me to sort of divorce my mind from, hey, you've got Titans who didn't need practice at all, and they looked spectacular.
Yeah, but that's the Titans. That's the Steelers Titans. Tighten up.
Wow.
Yeah, but the Steelers don't have a cool nickname, like, you know, cool phrase, like tighten up. All right, sure, so they're 8-0, but, you know, how far does that get you?
Right. Matthew prefers nicknames to undefeated seasons.
Listen, the Steelers' defense is really strong. It'll be fine.
Okay, anyways, we will continue to monitor this.
Steelers winning this game, Ben could play poorly. Ben could have a poor fantasy day, and the Steelers could win this game. We agree there, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think the conversation we'll have later is that if it's Mason Rudolph or Joshua Dobbs, what does it mean for the three pass catchers? But we'll get there a little bit later.
Before we move on from the COVID topic, I do want to bring up the case of the 49ers, because this is now something that we have not seen before, in that wide receiver Kendrick Bourne, if you recall, tested positive, and then he and several close contacts were unavailable for the Thursday night game. Now, after the game, the next day, Kendrick Bourne had two consecutive negative tests. So by Friday, he was clear. And by Friday, that meant all the high-risk close contacts were also clear. So a day after the game was over, it turned out to be what they believed was a false positive. Well, lo and behold, yesterday, Kendrick Bourne placed back on the reserve COVID-19 list. So again, I tell you this because it's a reminder that nothing is formulaic with this, and things can change all the time. So the 49ers now potentially without Kendrick Bourne again.
Okay, that's very interesting. We'll monitor that one throughout the week. The 49ers play the Saints on Sunday, so a huge matchup for both sides. The 49ers looking to cling to life in the playoff race, and the Saints looking to establish themselves as the number one seed in the conference. We have more updates here, Stefania, but not COVID-related. These are injury updated, and you know, it's the story of the week in fantasy football is Christian McCaffrey. So do we know, based off what we heard yesterday, whether he has a chance to play on Sunday?
We're hearing day to day. That is the latest. So that's better than what it could be. I mean, that's better than week to week, right? And Christian McCaffrey is certainly tough. He has never missed a game until this high ankle sprain earlier this year. They're calling it a shoulder injury. We don't have any more detail on anything more specific. But for your fantasy purposes, do not plan. You should have Mike Davis, first of all.
Right.
And if you can still possibly get him, you should never let him go, because this could be the way it goes the rest of the year.
Available in 29% of leagues. He'll be a very, very popular waiver target tonight, because we will not have clarity on Christian McCaffrey until at least Wednesday. Let's get to some good news, Stefania.
Hey.
We need some good news these days.
I don't only deliver bad news.
No, of course not. And we have some good news in Cleveland.
Yeah, Nick Chubb designated for return. Yoo-hoo! So practice window is now open. There's a 21-day window, but they are hopeful, and I that is a quote, hopeful, that he can be available for Sunday's game.
Okay, that would be awesome. I'd play him in fantasy football on Sunday if he does play.
You're not the best in the business for nothing, Phil.
Thank you. Appreciate you saying that. So we'll get into that more as we examine the matchup for the Browns, who have a very, very favorable matchup on Sunday against the Texans. You could basically run any time you want against that Houston Texans defense, as we have seen throughout the first half of the season. And then one more, Stefania. Same division, same state. Joe Mixon, and because the Bengals have been on a bye, it's been kind of a quiet week of updates from them. Do we have any sense about where he's at with his recovery?
We never got very much of a sense of what his injury specifically was, just that it was a foot issue, and they've been very, very quiet. So there was some speculation that potentially after the bye, we might hear about Joe Mixon returning, but I think we're going to have to wait to practice and see if he's able to do what he needs to do to be available. I think this is a strange one, right? Because they have been very quiet about it. But they've acted like he could always be around the corner, and it's been a weekly update, and we haven't seen him yet.
Interesting. All right. Well, we'll see whether we get him on Sunday. Maybe Wednesday will be a much more telling indicator. Two games missed. And, you know, I think a lot of people, when they see a player miss two games, because of the way the IR rules work this year, say, oh, well, he's definitely going to be back after two games missed, because if he was going to miss three games, why not just put him on IR in the first place? The problem is, as Stefania has told us 6,000 times, you don't know exactly how much time a player is going to miss, even off of your initial diagnosis. So they may have thought, hey, this could be a 1 to 2 week thing, could be a 3 to 5 week thing, who knows? And as a result of that, for now, the Bengals at least seem to have a chance on Sunday to have Joe Mixon. One more, Stefania. Gardner Minshew missed last week's game because of a thumb injury, although some believe maybe it was even performance-driven as well. But from a purely health standpoint, where is he at?
Yeah, I don't think so. It was entirely performance-driven. I mean, this guy had fractures in his thumb that they didn't know about. Although, Doug Marrone did say something interesting, that there's no guarantee that he would be the starter when he was able to return. So his status is still very much up in the air.
Okay. Well, it seemed like last week the team did have a pretty effective passing day with Jake Luton. I mean, Matthew, I guess like almost like news or noise here. Are you buying that like DJ Chark's value skyrockets with Jake Luton? Or I think that was just like one solid game from a guy who, by the way, is a good player.
Yeah, he's a good player. It was a great matchup. He had one huge play. I mean, he obviously was consistently targeted throughout the game, but like they started off with one, I want to say like a 70-yard touchdown. Like it was one of the first plays of that game. And so like it happened so quick, literally like we get off the air at Fantasy Football Now at 1 o'clock, literally as soon as the games. And then we walk to an area where on the other side of ESPN's campus where we watch the games. By the time I got to the place where we watched the games, it was like 3 minutes. Jake Luton had already hit DJ Chark for like a 70-yard touchdown.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
I didn't even say it right. So, I mean, then that's like a whatever, a 13-point play. So, no, I'm not necessarily buying that this is a boon to DJ Chark's value, but right, it's a good player in a good matchup, right? I mean, so, who do they play this week? They have a good matchup this week.
At Green Bay.
They're at Green Bay. That's probably a game where they're going to have to be throwing one a bit. Aaron Rodgers against the Jags.
I would think so as well.
I feel like Green Bay probably moves the ball successfully against the Jaguars, in which case, anyway. So I guess I don't know that you're necessarily feeling even more bullish about DJ Chark, but like again, like had a good game, should have another good game. He's a talented player, and they're going to be throwing a lot.
It feels like the biggest fantasy fallout here is that we probably, with Gardner Minshew being healthy and as the starter, would feel like he has a chance to be on the fantasy radar in a given week because he's shown it over a year and a half. With Jake Luton, I don't know that we're quite there as yet.
But worth noting, DJ Chark had a 31% target share with Jake Luton under center, which is obviously a huge number.
Let's get to Monday Night Football, a game that actually was very competitive and had one of the more dramatic finishes so far this year in the NFL on Monday Night Football.
Adam Gase should be in the consideration for Coach of the Year. Am I crazy on this?
You are not. No.
I mean, listen.
You have a plan, right?
Right. If you have a plan, right? The goal of a coach is to help your team win. Now, usually it's for this year.
Right.
But if your goal, if your internal stated goal is we want to tank for Trevor and not be obvious about it, Adam Gase is your guy.
Adam Gase.
Like he snatched defeat from the jaws of victory last night.
That's right.
Unbelievable.
Yes, the Jets are now 0-9. They definitely have the inside track to the number one pick, which, of course, we believe will be Trevor Lawrence. But we'll save the Mel Kiper and Todd McShay conversations for a little bit further down the line. Start with the Patriots here, and they score.
Because if I'm a Jets fan, it's also like if I'm a Jets fan, I'm legitimately rooting for them to go 0-16.
One of my best friends, Jason, one of my groomsmen for my wedding, our best friends from college text last night. He was seething. He was so mad that they were winning last night.
Oh,
he was fired up. He was like, "What are we doing?"
That's right.
He's like, "Yeah."
Jason's absolutely right.
Let's win a couple meaningless games and end up with like a nice outside linebacker as opposed to Trevor Lawrence.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, like, yeah. You don't want pick six.
Yeah.
Right.
You don't want that?
Yeah. You know what? A year from now, you're 0-16 with Trevor Lawrence or you're 3-13 with Wright. Whoever the best middle linebacker is.
Micah Parsons.
Right.
Nice player out of Penn State. But still.
Right, yeah.
Which
one
has a better chance to shape your future for the next 15 years?
Exactly.
All right.
That's exactly right.
Patriots put up 30 points last night. And I was asking this question to Matt, our producer, and Kyle before the show began. We need a word for what Cam Newton is doing semi-frequently right now in fantasy, because it's not Bortling. Bortling was when you were down by 30 points in the second half and you're chucking up for 250 passing yards.
I'll tell you exactly what he's doing. You want that word?
Yeah. What is it?
He's Tebowing.
Tebowing. Interesting.
He is Tebowing. Ooh. Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow was for year and a half-ish a viable fantasy quarterback who threw less than 10 passes a game.
Right.
When he was the starter for the Denver Broncos, he would score rushing touchdowns. He would run all the time, and he was a lower end but viable fantasy quarterback that, you know, didn't throw a ton, but every once in a while would hit a pass. But what we're doing is Tebowing. No, listen, I get it, right? Because Tebowing is also like the kneeling and the whole thing, which is what he would do after a touchdown. But whatever, it's been a while. So you asked me for a phrase, that's what he's doing.
Yeah, no,
he's not Bortling. I think he's Tebowing.
The only thing that
I think he's closer to Tebow than Bortles.
But he finished last night with two rushing touchdowns, good for nearly 25 fantasy points. He was great. He was quarterback 8 on the week for fantasy. So
he also threw for 276 yards, which was that was a surprise. Listen, he was on the hate list. I'll just own it. He was on the hate list just because I think I'm like everyone's going to think he's going to go off against the Jets, and I actually think the Jets play him tougher. You know, there's no guarantee he runs it into the end zone. Well, he ends up running into the end zone, and so bad call by me. I'm just going to own it. You know, touchdowns are fluky. What are you going to do?
With him, they might not be, though, right?
Yeah,
Play, you can say, hey, amongst quarterback rushing touchdowns, he's not. I mean, this large sample. He's now obvious. Top 40 in NFL history.
No, obviously. And Damian Williams gets hurt in the end of that game as well. Harris. So that, you know, what did I say? Damian
Williams.
Sorry.
Same thing.
Damian.
So let's just run. Cam is, though. But I think Cam has sort of established himself as what he is for this year. Is that I thought there was a chance the ceiling would be higher for Cam. But the floor is pretty high for now for Cam. In 5 of the 7 games he's played this year, he's a top 12 quarterback. So he's had a couple duds. Obviously, those are painful. But, you know, if you're looking for a high floor fill-in in a given week, whether it's Matt Ryan or Patrick Mahomes this week or future weeks, as we know, it's probably smart to roster two quarterbacks. Cam Newton kind of represents that floor because of the rushing. Let's just, in the same way that Lamar Jackson has a high floor now because of that rushing, maybe not such a high ceiling, Cam Newton has a high floor.
Yeah, I mean, Yeah, I suppose.
5 of 7 finishes inside the top 12. That's a high floor.
And yet still in points per game this season is QB 17.
Okay. 5 of 7 games. He's a top 12 quarterback. That's a high floor.
No, but think about that, though. He's been top 12 in 5 of 7, and yet still, when you average all of his games together on a points per game basis, he's QB 17. When he's bad, he kills you. Mm-hmm. So that's not a high floor guy to me.
I guess the question would just be how much you expect those games to happen again going forward.
He's playing Baltimore on Sunday. There's a pretty good chance it happens Sunday.
We'll see. It'll be interesting to rank him this week then. We'll talk about that.
I say, against the Ravens, Cam Newton is not a top 12 fantasy quarterback.
Well, I don't have my top 12 for the ranks this week, so I don't say that either.
Where do you think he's going to be? You really think you're going to put him inside the top 12?
I just said I don't have him inside my top 12 for the week.
All right.
Yeah.
So then there you go. We're in agreement.
In a bad matchup. Now we're doing this thing where we make a fight out of something that's dumb and it's just bad content.
Fine, let's both pick on Kyle.
Okay,
like, I'm on board with
whatever.
I'm going to interrupt your fight. Damian Harris.
Yeah. I just want to digress for 1 second.
Sure.
And this is not for you. The field, how seething is your friend going to be when Trevor Lawrence either stays in school or pulls a Manning?
You know, Stefania, the only thing is he's reached such depths of disappointment from the Jets that I think he's just numb to it now. Like, he's a dad. He's like, when he gets mad, I just tell him, go hang out with your daughter. And that makes him happy. And that's about all he needs. How about that?
Poor guy. Yeah. Well, if you were a Patriots fan last night, you had to be happy with the outcome. And Damian Harris was a question mark coming into the game because of his ankle. Wasn't worried about that. He actually looked pretty good running. But then in the fourth quarter, took a huge hit, had a chest injury, left the game. Obviously, no word yet on whether that will cost him any time, but didn't look good when it happened, for sure.
Certainly looks very painful.
Do you know he hasn't thrown a touchdown pass since week 3?
Touchdown pass in week 3?
No, Cam Newton. I'm just still back on Cam Newton. No. That's fine. We can move on to Damian Harris. It's fine.
We already did.
We just did.
Well, yeah.
So whatever.
Next.
Not everyone moves at the same pace as you guys. I like to mosey. You know what I am? I'm a moseyer. And I'm moseying in to Damian Harris.
Nails.
Yes.
Yeah. You're our sloth.
A little bit.
Damian Harris, though, kind of remains what he is, which is a volume-dependent flex play at best. But now he's injured, so I think he's probably You know, let's get an update on Wednesday when the Patriots get back to practice. But for now, the Patriots backfield has no running back that you want to start. None.
Yeah. I mean, their upcoming schedule, the next four, Ravens at the Texans, home to Arizona at the Chargers. Only Houston is a matchup that you feel good about there with Harris. The Chargers defense is getting healthier, and I think 4 weeks.
You watch them
now,
on Sunday?
They were bad on Sunday.
How about the week before that? Do you watch them then?
they have struggled this year, but they're getting healthier. They're getting healthier. I'm not comparing him to Josh Jacobs. Let me put it that way.
Okay.
Really?
I'd compare Damien Harris to Josh Jacobs. He's not as good, but he's not that far off either.
Yeah.
You know what's funny about that, man?
What's that?
Bring it up.
No, I mean, I know what you're
Harris
saying.
Started over Josh Jacobs in college when they were literally teammates together.
Really? Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I forgot about that. That's true. They did. Yeah, that's a good point. Well, whatever. Their situations aren't the same, though.
That's fair.
Anyways, I mean, you know what I mean? Like
silly bickering. But yeah. So let's agree here.
All right.
No Patriots running back is starting for you.
Correct.
Right. Certainly. However, yeah, there may be a Patriots wide receiver who does start for you.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about a revelation. Happy birthday, Jacoby Myers, last night. Good way to celebrate. Turns 24 and has over 24 fantasy points. It's always a good sign when you can outscore your age in fantasy points on that night. 12 catches, 169 yards on 14 targets. That means over the past two games, 24 targets for Jacoby Myers, back-to-back games with up over 10 fantasy points. Nearly 14 in week 8. 28.9 in week 9. Good enough for wide receiver 4. And you know something, Matthew?
What's that?
No Julian Edelman yet. Right. He's on IR still.
Yeah. So
at least one more game missed.
Sure, sure.
Probably longer. Isaiah Ford is going to probably play for them this upcoming week.
No N'Keal Harry last night. Yeah. Two straight games.
This could be a thing.
It absolutely could be a thing. Jacoby Myers is somebody that we've seen flashes of before.
Yeah.
Like he's not completely out of nowhere. Like he's had moments with Tom Brady, with the Patriots in previous years where they're like, oh, hey, is that something? He was a guy that was a preseason star, I think, 2 years ago.
Totally.
Right?
Yep.
And so, yeah, I mean, someone's going to have to catch the ball. And certainly, you don't love him against Baltimore this week, but at Houston, Arizona, like they're going to have to throw the ball to somebody. And a performance like this certainly gets Josh McDaniels' attention, gets Cam Newton's attention. Want to give a shout out here to B Weiss 842 on the gram. You know, I posted my Monday Night Miracle, you know, that I always do every week. You know, hey, what do you need? You know, hashtag Monday Night Miracle. He replied to me, 26 points from Jacoby Myers. Got 28 points.
Right. I hate to do this, but did you see what happened in the Dynasty League that we play in on ESPN?
I did not. I'm in tanking for Trevor mode in that league. My team is decimated by injuries, you know.
I was down by 51 last night.
Okay, 51.
Tom Brady gave me 2.36. Derrick Henry gave me 3.6, I believe.
Yeah,
Derrick Henry gave me 6.8, and James Conner gave me
3.6. Yeah.
So those are my stars in that league, right?
Okay, right.
Gronk gave me 0.7.
Yeah.
George Kittle, OBJ, amongst Julian Edelman on IR for me. Down 51. I decided last minute to pivot in my offensive player, so our flex spot. You know what? I'm going to throw Joe Flacco in there.
Oh, nice.
So Joe Flacco, Jamison Crowder, and Jacoby Myers for 52 last night.
Look at you, Field Yates.
The most disgusting. Over not cool Keith, the single nicest human ever. It didn't even feel good. And the best part is, or the worst part is, that last catch, the Patriots had, a 3rd and 20? And Jacoby Myers gets one catch for 18 yards, I think it was. Half point PPR, so that's 2.3 points. Pushed me over the edge. I felt so bad.
No, listen, it's a Monday Night Miracle. Hashtag Monday Night Miracle.
It is a Monday Night Miracle.
In that same Dynasty League last year when my team was actually competitive, no, not cool. I missed the playoffs by half a game, and the half a game that I lost, no, I did. I lost on a tiebreaker.
Yeah.
Basically. Or so I lost by one game. And that one game was a game against Not Cool Keith where I lost by 2 points. I lost to 2 points to Not Cool Keith last year. And that was the game in which... Remember the Steelers were awful against the slot last year, and I had Cooper Kupp. At the time in which Cooper Kupp was like the number one wide receiver in fantasy, and that was the one game where Cooper Kupp got 0 points. Cooper Kupp catches one pass for 10 yards. I'm in the playoffs in that Dynasty League, and I probably win it last year. But didn't happen. So you know what? Double-edged sword in fantasy football for Not Cool Keith. He won one last year. He probably shouldn't have. He lost one last night to you. He probably shouldn't have.
It happens. But hold on.
The point is my tank for Trevor is going swimmingly.
Well, and also the point is that Jacoby Myers, he is the, and we'll talk about waiver wire as later, but I'll tell you this. he will be discussed. On the Jets, just a little bit of news to
just
get
quick in. Name game. Jacoby Myers or Davante Adams rest of the season?
PPR or no?
PPR. PPR scoring.
Have the Packers had their bye yet or no?
They did.
They did.
I'll take Myers, but it's close.
It is close. Understood. Is close.
Yeah.
All right.
On the Jets, just a couple things. Lemons and Lemonade is brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer, and this week's player is Jameson Crowder. Maybe the Jets are the lemons and Crowder is a lemonade. Crowder, 2 catches on 2 targets for 26 yards and a touchdown, 10.6 fantasy points. He's got over 10.5 fantasy points in every game he has played this season. Just 2 targets, didn't feel like he was prominently involved because he was not prominently involved. But if there's a Jet that you can count on weekly in fantasy, it's clearly Jameson Crowder. He's sort of a, I would say, a top 18 to 25 wide receiver. Rest of the season.
Double-digit fantasy points in every game he's played so far this year. Doesn't matter who the quarterback is. You just talk about floor players, and that's Jameson Crowder. Obviously, it was a big Breshad Perriman game, and yet still in a game in which he wasn't targeted very much, Breshad Perriman gets you double-digit fantasy points.
Right, but
gets
you posted on Twitter, his game log this year is like, you probably have to see it a couple more times from Breshad Perriman before you trust it. But if you're looking for a stash on your bench, have at it with Breshad Perriman.
Look, they're going into a bye. Perriman's been injured so far this year, so it's been inconsistent, obviously, for him, and he's coming into a new team and a new situation. Just from a general standpoint, I think Breshad Perriman is talented.
Yeah, he is. He helped last year, remember?
Yeah, he was awesome towards the end of last year. People forget this is somebody that was a number one pick, a first-round pick in the NFL draft by the Ravens a number of years ago. Been some injuries, issues with drops. He's been sort of kicked around the league, Baltimore, Cleveland, Tampa Bay, now with the Jets. But I do think, fully healthy, off of the bye, that I do think there is potential for fantasy value in the second half of the year once they come out of their bye. You know, so anyway, Perriman just, it was an interesting game last night. Like, you were like, okay, that's, oh, yeah. That was the guy that we saw last year.
Don't forget, Jameson Crowder was really questionable coming into this game, and he had the groin injury was worse than everyone thought. And it was really a late decision late in the week that he was moving better, and so they were willing to give him a shot in the game. It may have just, that may have played into it.
Okay, fair enough. We'll see whether Jameson Crowder out of the bye, you would hope and you would think, will be full go for the Jets as they continue to tank for Trevor.
And we keep saying we want LaMichael Perine to happen. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. As long as Frank Gore is there, and let's be clear, Frank Gore will always be there. Hashtag Frank Gore forever. Like, it's just not anything that you can count on. If there are fantasy viable starters, it's Crowder and maybe Perriman if we see it a little bit more consistently.
Agreed on that. From the moment they're born, you do everything to keep your kids safe. But who's looking out for you as you look out for them? The Volvo XC90 SUV with advanced safety technology helps look after you. From the standard blind spot information system that watches your sides and can steer you away from merging traffic to standard cross-traffic alert with auto brake that watches your back and can automatically apply the brakes for people and oncoming traffic as you reverse. It's nice to know that someone is looking out for you, the XC90, for everyone's safety. Visit volvocars.com/US for more.
Shell knows that between every tee-up, layup, and batter-up that you can't wait to catch up with your favorite podcast. So come to Shell and get 3 things done at once. First, fill up with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus to help keep your engine running like new. Then save up with the Fuel Rewards program and never pay full price for gas again. And finally, snack up with in-store rewards to save even more at the pump. Oh, time to wrap it up. Make the most of the stop you need to make with Shell in engines that continuously use Shell V-Power Nitro Plus premium gasoline. See full terms and conditions at fuelrewards.com.
Stefania is just really... Oh. Dang it! I was on a one-game winning streak there. Stefania is just so good at reading live reads. Maybe she does all of them going forward. We're going to get to the waiver wire now, but I want to start by saying this, and I think I mentioned this yesterday, maybe just in a conversation off mic. Been writing the waiver column for 6 years now at ESPN.
Yeah.
One of the weaker weeks on the waiver wire that I have seen in quite some time. But you are still obligated to listen to the rest of this podcast or at least download and give us a 5-star review on iTunes.
That's all we care about.
That's right. Let's get into
the rest. If you want to listen, you listen. Knock yourself out. But honestly, we want the click. We want the 5-star review. That's all.
That's right. The column's up on ESPN.com now. And
you're a company man.
Anything? We tried. Bueller? No such luck. It's okay. It's okay. Can't win them all.
No secret squirrel.
He's still doing a good job. Anyways, let's get into, thank God for Jacoby Myers. Let's get into the waiver wire, and we begin with Duke Johnson. Matthew, I'm going to let you play host after I tell you about Duke Johnson, but he had 20 touches last week, filling in for David Johnson, who left the game early. Duke Johnson's a very, very proficient pass catcher. That much is always going to be there. The only concern that you have to have here is, even if David Johnson is out, whether the Texans will commit to Duke Johnson as a full-time workhorse, because no one's been willing to do that, right? And we've always seen Duke Johnson perform well in a change-of-pace role. I'm not sure any team, Texans included, are committed to giving him, let's say, 20-ish touches in a game that they don't have to, right? They had to last week because they had nobody else available. Stefania, we have zero sense, I'm sure, about whether David Johnson has a chance to play on Sunday.
Right. All we know is in the protocol until they start practice.
In the protocol. So I still think Duke Johnson should be added in all leagues. I think he's got the chance to be like a top 25 running back play this week in a matchup against the Browns that I don't think particularly scares you.
I would agree with all of that. Any sense of, you know, I don't know. Off the top of my head, I don't know who's on the Texans practice squad. Who else would be?
I believe they recently, remember, they brought back C.J. Prosise.
That's right.
C.J. Prosise,
former Seattle Seahawk, yep.
Correct. And they have one more running back that is slipping my mind right now. Maybe J.J. Watt, given a few snaps there. let's go to your beloved football team, Matthew.
Here's the thing. J.D. McKissic, all of a sudden, especially with Alex Smith under center, becomes interesting, especially in a week.
Yeah, and I think you kind of need to know your needs at this point of the season. If you're looking for a player that's got a chance for, let's say, 18 or 20 points, I don't think that J.D. McKissic is your best bet. But if you've got a fill-in this week and you're looking to replace Clyde Edwards-Helaire or Todd Gurley or one of the other backs on bye this week, you need maybe like 10 points, then I think J.D. McKissic is a pretty reasonable bet, given that he has 6-plus catches in 4 of his past 5 games. If I'm not mistaken, just on receiving yardage alone, in each of those 4 games, he has at least 10 fantasy points. So pretty useful in the passing game. You just mentioned Alex Smith, the starter going forward. Figure he'll continue to prominently involve the running backs in the passing game. So I think J.D. McKissic is a reasonable floor, minimal upside running back add.
I think that's exactly right. Much more of a floor play than a ceiling play. Somebody that potentially could be a ceiling play, but also could do nothing, is in Indianapolis.
That's right. Jordan Wilkins. And again, what you get out of this is very much to be determined. So he could be the third string running back on this roster by the end of this week. Wouldn't surprise us. They play on Thursday night against the Titans. And I actually, Diana Racine does a great job covering all things NFL for us here at ESPN, is on assignment this week in Nashville. And her and I talked on Monday, and she said, hey, what do you need from me? And I said, if you get any inkling at all about how the Colts want to use their running backs, let us know. She said, we're doing it. We'll let you know. So if we have more information, we haven't gotten it yet, but again, okay, it's only Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
If we have more information, we'll pass it along. But right now, the Colts seem to be committed to one thing and one thing only, a hot hand. And that does you nothing for fantasy football. But
it does more for anti-Jonathan Taylor than pro-Jordan Wilkins. But Jonathan Taylor has not had more than 12 carries in 4 straight games. Yeah. But here's his touch count over the past 3 games going back, 16 to 13 to 8. Obviously had the bad fumble that the Ravens returned for a touchdown this past week. He was ineffective 2 weeks ago in the win against Detroit. And so, look, he's got the pedigree. He's got the high draft day price tag,
yep,
that Jordan Wilkins doesn't. And not that Jordan Wilkins has been great, but he's been the better-looking running back of the two recently.
And
there's a chance they commit to him, like, he's an upside stash.
You know what's interesting is one of the sort of quiet storylines, maybe it's changed a little bit of late, but I don't think much. The Colts' offensive line is awesome.
Yeah.
They have not been awesome run-blocking this year. It has not been the same group that we saw over the past couple of seasons. Let's move forward to wide receivers, Matthew. Yep. Again, we'll circle back to our friend Jacoby Myers in a bit. But we started in Detroit. Danny Amendola, we talked about this yesterday. Actually got a very nice text about someone who enjoyed our Danny Amendola, Mohamed Sanu conversation. It felt like it was an appropriate comp.
Yeah.
Danny Amendola, 7 catches this past week. If you're looking for 10, 12, 14 points, Danny Amendola has a chance to provide that. Stefania putting on the spot here. But when Kenny Galladay went down, I mean, he practiced 0 last week.
Right.
Made me think this could be multi-week.
Sure. Whenever you have a guy who doesn't show up in practice all week, it makes you think this is going to be longer. Now, you look for the IR move, but you and I have already talked about that, that does not always happen either, A, because they just don't know how quickly a player is going to become available, or B, if they don't need to make a roster move, it's just not necessary.
Yeah, so we'll keep an eye on whether Kenny Golladay practices Wednesday. If he plays, hard for me to envision playing anybody besides he and Marvin Jones at wide receiver for the Lions, but if Kenny Golladay is out, I think we've realized that the next man up you might like in that offense could very well be Danny Amendola. They play Washington at home in Detroit on Sunday.
Now, in our game, he only qualifies at wide receiver, but that is not how the Carolina Panthers use Curtis Samuel.
That's right. They call him Kurtco down there in Charlotte, and he's been really good recently. Yeah. Really, really fun. He has a top 25 finish at wide receiver in each of the past 3 weeks, and this one's tough, right? Because I don't know what his snap percentage is offhand, but I can't imagine he's an every down player for them. And if Christian McCaffrey is out, we saw some signs that with Mike Davis, they would give a little bit of work for Curtis Samuel at running back, as Matthew mentioned. And even last week when they had Christian McCaffrey back in the mix here. So I think it's possible that he'll get a little bit more running back burn if Christian McCaffrey is out. I still believe this is a little bit of a hit or miss player in fantasy, but talented dude. We've always liked the pedigree here for a second round pick who was used at Ohio State comparably to how he's being used right now in some ways.
They're taking advantage of the versatility. It's one of the more creative offenses in the NFL, and so it's nice to sort of see, to your point, they have a lot of guys there. They have Robbie Anderson. They have DJ Moore. They have the running back, whether it's McCaffrey or Davis. And so as a result, there's a lower floor with Samuel than maybe others, but the upside is evident as we've seen over the last 3 weeks. And a guy that we've been talking about for a while that I love his talent. You wish he had a better quarterback, but he's suddenly seeing a ton of targets, and that's a kid in Chicago.
That's right. Darnell Mooney, at least 5 targets in 7 straight games, 11 targets this past week. Very good vertical presence. Again, you got to figure out what you need on your roster. If you're looking for a player who might get you 18 points in a week, or he might get you 0.8 points in a week, Darnell Mooney is your guy. We are looking for upside plays here. We are looking for players who have either an expanding role or enough talent to deserve an expanding role. It feels like Darnell Mooney is both of those. He's available in nearly 90% of leagues. Not a necessary add in 10-team leagues, but you play in 12, 14, 16-team leagues. No question about it. Darnell Mooney is a name to keep on your radar.
And a very bright future if he's somehow still available in your dynasty or keeper league. I have him in a number of those, as we were just talking about dynasty leagues a couple of seconds ago. I want to go to the touchscreen now field, and I want you to put some of these names that we've just talked about in order for us, right? Because it's one thing to say, like, here are my wide receivers, here are my running backs, here are my quarterbacks. But let's go ahead and figure out what you would do, you know, if you have needs at all positions, or even if you have no needs, and so you're just trying to improve your team, improve your bench depth. Let's put all these guys in order. And I will say, speaking of Chicago, because we're talking about Mooney, interesting to see Cordarrelle Patterson didn't make the list. Any thoughts there?
He's on the waiver. We don't go through everybody. We have more players on the column than we discuss here. There's a lot of real estate throughout the week. So as you'll see right now, though, there are 10 players that are potential waiver wire additions.
Okay.
I'm going to start with Caleb.
And that's, by the way, that's another reason to, in addition to you're listening to this or watching this, you still got to read the column on ESPN written by Mr. Field Yates.
All right,
I'm a company
number
man.
And not trying to poke the bear here, but Caleb Lage, like, we can have a lot of fun and talk about whether he met expectations in Miami, yada, yada, yada. But he got an opportunity this past week with Justin Jackson leaving the game within minutes of the game starting. And Caleb Lage played really well. He had nearly 70 rushing yards. He found the end zone. He had 15 rushing attempts for 69 yards in that game. And here's what I don't know, whether Justin Jackson will be healthy enough to play this upcoming week. But what I do think is that Josh Kelly is not going to be an every down player for the Chargers. So if Justin Jackson misses again, Caleb Lage, I think, has an opportunity this upcoming week. Number 5 on my list.
It will be this one's a really interesting one to me, because prior to going into the concussion protocol himself, Troy Maine Pope was called up the practice squad last week, played really well for him.
Yeah.
He gets placed in the concussion protocol. They call up Kalen Ballage from the practice squad. He has a nice game. So it is really interesting. I think what you and I both agree on here is there's an opportunity in that Chargers backfield with Joshua Kelly underperforming and Justin Jackson banged up. And so at the moment, it might be Ballage, but keep an eye on Troy Maine Pope as well. Kalen Ballage, another former Adam Gase player finding success elsewhere in the NFL. Who's number four field?
You don't say. It's Jordan Wilkins, and we just talked about him. And again, I just think that speaking in a vacuum, running back waiver wire additions probably more valuable than wide receiver waiver wire additions because there are so many wide receivers that you have a better chance of trusting. This could be a player that you add, and you end up not being able to use him at all. But in the event that he takes this job over in Indianapolis, which maybe there's only like a 10% chance of that happening, he's going to be a kind of guy that you could lock into your lineups every single week. Number three for me, Jacoby Myers. Again, I think this could be a real thing after the past 2 weeks. Yes, the Patriots have semi-reinforcements on the way in Isaiah Ford and maybe N'Keal Harry, who's missed two games now, has not practiced at all after a massive hit that resulted in a concussion. But if you're the Patriots right now and you struggled all year to find wide receivers that you could count on, if you find one that you can count on, you would think you'd keep going back to the well. He's number three for me on my list. Number two is J.D. McKissic. Again, high-ish floor, not very high ceiling, but back to the value of running backs and fantasy football. And Antonio Gibson, really exciting long-term prospects for him in Washington, D.C. His value has cratered a little bit right now, though, in season-long fantasy redraft leagues. So I think that maybe J.D. McKissic is going to stick around for at least the remainder of 2020. He's a solid fill-in for those that have players in a bye this week. And then number one, maybe David Johnson plays this week, but if he doesn't, I think it's pretty clear that Duke Johnson should be a very busy man for the Texans on Sunday. He's a guy that, as we mentioned, had 20 touches this past week. You've seen Duke Johnson have fantasy-relevant seasons before. I believe 1 year in Cleveland, he actually finished as a top 10 running back during that best year of his career. Duke Johnson, a player that we like. It's all about opportunity, and it would fit. It would stand to reason that for at least a week, he has some opportunity.
No question.
Anybody that I didn't put on there that you're like, I definitely want him in my top five?
Let me look at your list here. No, I think that's the right list. Obviously, as things come out, we shall see. I'm intrigued by Darnell Mooney, right? And like I said, like if you were deeper leagues, like I'm not convinced on Kalen Ballage. I mean, listen, I have always
you have no idea though, right?
Like no, I'm just saying,
if we got word that Justin Jackson was not out this week, and so was Troy Maine Pope, and it was just him and Joshua Kelly.
Oh, then yeah, you're all in on Kalen Ballage. It's a Ballage barrage. Right. Like it's we're moving into the Ballage Mahal. Like yeah, 1,000%. I've always been fascinated by we've made a lot of jokes about Kalen Ballage and how I liked him last year, but he is somebody that caught over 60 passes at Arizona State. He is 6'4". He is built like a brick wall and fast as hell. Like there are a lot of pieces there that should make, potentially a really good running back. There are questions about his ability to, his decision making, right? And, can he hit the hole in the right way? But again, he would not be the first and not the last to be a player that struggled under Adam Gase only to find success elsewhere in the NFL. Early returns with the Chargers are positive for Kalen Ballage.
We're going to empty the bucket in a moment from Sunday's action. But after a long summer, the wait is officially over. College football is back, and so is an all-new season of your favorite Dr. Pepper-obsessed college football town. That's right. We're talking about Fansville, so brace yourself for all the on-field drama and off-the-field Dr. Pepper flavor your eyes and taste buds can handle. Because even though you can't be at the stadium, you can still dress, cheer, and drink Dr. Pepper like a true fan. Head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today.
Do you own or rent your home?
Yep.
Sure you do. I know you do, Field Yates. And I bet it can be hard work. But you know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around the house. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit Geico, visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Well done, buddy.
By the way, the one thing I might have, yeah, you came close to forgetting, you know, waiting. It's all right. It's okay. I'm here for positive reinforcement.
I got a couple of thoughts. I know where you're going. Can I guess where you're going?
Where do you think I'm going? I don't think I'm going.
Quarterback streamers.
No. I wasn't going to go there, but that's a good place to go. I was merely going to say, I just want to sort of reiterate this. Mike Davis is out there in almost 30% of ESPN leagues. He does not enough leagues to make your waiver wire column where the threshold is 50%, but enough leagues where you're like, just check to make sure.
Sure.
He hasn't been dropped in your league because he would be, if for some reason he's available in your league, he's the no-brainer number one here with a chance that McCaffrey might miss on Sunday.
Right, and it could be multiple weeks for McCaffrey. We just don't know. We don't know if it'll be any weeks, but let's certainly keep an eye on that one. It is the story of fantasy football for this week. Time to empty the bucket from Sunday. Just a few follow-up thoughts that might matter for upcoming weeks or might not.
And also, can I say one quick thing before we move on? Sorry. I'm also going to say to that Mike Davis point, one other thing I want to say is that as you go into your waiver wire, mm-hmm. you know, some people last week were like, oh, McCaffrey's coming back. I'm going to drop this guy. Until we know they're definitely back, if you can, my point is like, if you carry Giovanni Bernard, like I would hang on to him until we know the status of Joe Mixon. If you carried Boston Scott, hang on to him until we know the status of Miles Sanders. We expect him back. But you never know, right?
Never know.
Like just
absolutely never.
So guys that are coming off the bye as well, just hang on until we know for sure what's going to happen with them.
If you started Jordan Howard last week, you got exactly what you deserve because Jordan Howard had a Jordan Howard week for the Dolphins. He had 19 rushing touchdowns. He had 19 rushing yards and a touchdown. 7.9 fantasy points, zero value in the passing game.
Yep.
And there's a chance now that they'll have Matt Breida back on the field at some point. Stefania, any instinct if this week is possible?
No, he's another one who didn't see the field at all. You know, hamstring injury last week, did not practice, and there is zero update on him yet.
And, I think that when we all thought that when they traded for DeAndre Washington, it was to reinforce Myles Gaskin being out for at least three games. Maybe it was because Myles Gaskin's going to miss at least three games, plus Matt Breida and his hamstring issue as well. So DeAndre Washington in the mix as soon as this week. Patrick Laird handled some passing down duty last week. So this is a committee potentially in Miami. I think you can safely avoid Jordan Howard in week 10, even if he does get the start, so to speak, for Miami. Melvin Gordon, man, what a weird year. I have this instinct to not want to question NFL teams the minute they make moves. Because in a lot of cases, there's a lot more information that we don't know that they do know. And that's just maybe that's because I have worked on that side and saw how some things didn't meet the eye and was frustrated when the media would portray things in a way that I felt was not totally comprehensive, which I'm not blaming them. It's just that, hey, if you know a couple of things about behavior, character, you know, cap savings, whatever, it might make
why is a team look, and it happens. Honestly, like it happens in organizations all the time. I can't tell you the number of times where something has happened here at ESPN. And I know that whether I agree with it or not, I understand the reasoning behind that move. And I have seen the media report as to what their thoughts on why that move is. And you're like, that's like half of it. Or like, that's not all of this. That's not the full story. And so
I don't
agree with you.
It takes any more than a little bit of instinct to think that like DeAndre Hopkins was not traded just off football motivation. I think that part is obvious. So I say all that to note that when the Broncos signed Melvin Gordon, I thought to myself, really? $8 million a year for Melvin Gordon when you already have a pretty good running back on your roster and Phillip Lindsay and a third-round pick the year before and Royce Freeman? Hasn't been great for Melvin Gordon this year. He's been okay for fantasy because there are very few running backs that are good in fantasy right now. But 3.7 fantasy points this past week, Matthew, 44 touches, 44 snaps to 26 for Phillip Lindsay. Uninspiring.
Really uninspiring. They've been bad. Last two games, Broncos have been like bad, losing, and then they have these crazy fourth quarters, which may be part of it. Although the weird part is that in theory, he's the pass-catching running back. I know everyone, because of the size of the players, you sort of assume Phillip Lindsay's the pass-catching running back, but that's not the case, or at least that's not the case coming into the season. Like, again, Melvin Gordon, off the top of my head, has something like 90 receptions the last 2 years combined. Like, he's a good pass catching running back, or at least in theory should be. But they don't use him that way. You know, it was his season low in receptions this past week. He's got 21 touches for 74 yards over the past two games combined. It's tough. Now, they're at Las Vegas this week. You know, he's a touchdown dependent flex.
Yeah.
Not where you drafted him, and it's certainly not what the Broncos signed him to be.
You know what, though? You said he's a touchdown dependent flex, and you're probably right. In normal years, this year he might be like a touchdown dependent RB1 because there are zero good running backs. I'm kidding, but like,
right, 100%.
So few running backs that you can trust. There are a lot of quarterbacks you can trust, though, which is really good.
Yep.
Let's sort of assess tiers for two quarterbacks, though. Here, Matthew, Lamar Jackson. Where are we at now? I mean,
we're worried.
Still worried.
I am.
18.6 fantasy points this past week, 170 passing yards, 58 rushing yards, and a touchdown. Upcoming schedule is the Patriots, Titans, Steelers, Cowboys. But with me, I don't know that it's ever really a matchup thing for Lamar Jackson.
It's definitely not a matchup thing. But Lamar Jackson, we're now through 9 weeks this season. I haven't looked at the totals yet. Thirsty Kyle, Lamar Jackson is QB what on the season now through 9 weeks?
On it.
All right. So... but we talked about this yesterday. When you drafted Lamar Jackson, there's a chance he had to draft him in the first round, and he didn't make it out of the second round in most leagues, certainly not on ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I both said, wait on quarterback. We both like Lamar Jackson, but neither of us would draft him in the second round. We both said that. We would not do that because to draft a quarterback in the second round, given the depth of the position and an ESPN standard league where you only play one in a 10-team league, Lamar Jackson not only needs to finish as the number one quarterback in fantasy, he needs to finish it by a wide margin, which is what he did last year. He was not only the number one quarterback in fantasy, he was like 40 points better than the next best guy.
Right.
He had legitimately a record-setting year. And so Lamar Jackson not only hasn't been the number one quarterback in fantasy, he isn't giving you a significant margin every week. You say like he had 18 fantasy points on Sunday. Okay. But you know what? Like... there's so many more.
Alex Smith had that too, right?
Yeah, backup, that's exactly right. Like 18, scoring, but, you know, this year is so high. There's so many games that have over unders north of 50, which last year wasn't the case. That 18 points is like, that's like QB 17 or something like that. What do you got, Thirsty Kyle?
He's quarterback 11 on a per game basis, just under 20 points a game, just behind the benched Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, bad.
And where was he last week?
Last week?
Last week. He finished week 9 16. As QB what?
16.
Yeah. QB 16. Like, I mean, again, you're like, oh, hey, listen, he fell into 18.6 fantasy points. And you're like, right,
yeah.
QB 16. Like, that's the problem is I think we need to recalibrate what we think is
bad
a good.
Pick. Not in real life. Bad draft pick in fantasy this year.
Yeah.
Bad.
I have said the argument that based on what you need, based on the position, the
most.
Depth at quarterback, and not counting injury guys, he is the most disappointing fantasy player this year.
Correct. Josh Allen is not that.
No.
He had 36 fantasy points this past week, but it came after a one-month slump, basically. So have we level set that Josh Allen is still a must-start, or is he a guy that is matchup-dependent QB1?
I think he's back to being a must-start, but like a shaky must-start, if that makes any sense.
I mean,
he wasn't able to... I mean, again, Cam Newton just had a better game against the Jets than Josh Allen did. Josh Allen was bad for a month, and he was awesome against Seattle. But again, that was sort of game dependent because they said to Seattle, like, we're not going to try to run against you. I mean, you actually heard, I don't know, did you catch Pete Carroll's post-game press conference?
I did, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't
it's hilarious.
It.
But no, Pete Carroll said, listen, like, we expected them to run against us. We had a really good game plan if they ran against us. They didn't run against us. Like, they didn't even attempt it. They didn't even try. They didn't fake it. Like, they just threw the entire time, and Seattle wasn't ready for it. And it was obviously the right call because Buffalo had tremendous success moving the ball.
You're trying to tell me that if anybody's looking for Bobby Wagner and Jamal Adams, you can find them underneath a bus somewhere because Pete Carroll just threw them there?
It would appear that way.
Ooh,
and
man.
But whatever. I mean, the fact is that is how Buffalo decided to attack them. At Arizona this week, my expectation would be somewhat more of the same.
Yeah.
I mean, like, and listen, Buffalo's defense has struggled as well. Kyler Murray's as hot as any quarterback in the NFL. We expect a lot of points to be scored. That's going to be a fun one. Josh Allen versus Kyler Murray, going to be a fun one on Sunday. But yeah, so I think he's back to a must start. But the leash for him is much shorter than other guys.
Time for a little bit of news or noise, and we begin covering Adam Thielen. And smart trade decisions is informed by IBM Watson, and is Adam Thielen's two-week slump a perfect buy-low opportunity to bolster your playoff roster? Here's what he's done over the past couple of weeks. Two catches for 38 yards and 5.8 fantasy points last week. Oh, by the way, he had fewer than 6 fantasy points the week before. 19.8 fantasy points per game for the entire season prior to these 2 weeks. I think there's a chance that this is a good buy low opportunity on Adam Thielen. I will tell you this, though. Minnesota ain't going away from what they're doing right now, and what they're doing right now is the reason why Adam Thielen is not touching the football that much. It's Dalvin Cook's offense, and if you look at their upcoming schedule, I think there's a chance the Vikings will be sitting at 7-5 in the next 4 weeks. At Chicago, a game I believe they can win. Home to Dallas, Carolina, and Jacksonville. None of those teams will be favored going into the game against Minnesota.
Not at Chicago, you don't think this week? Are they not favored?
The three teams that they will be hosting.
Oh, got it. Okay.
I wouldn't be surprised if they're favored against the Bears, too.
Two and a half point favorite.
Yeah.
They're 2.5-point favorites against the Bears on the road at Chicago? Interesting. Chicago. Wow.
So my point is that the formula is there, and I don't know that the formula can't keep up for the next 4 weeks. So Adam Thielen is still going to be a roster lock for me every single week, but more like a roster lock is like wide receiver 17 as opposed to wide receiver 5.
Yeah, with Adam Thielen, what you're buying is you're buying the target share.
Yep.
The problem is Kirk Cousins had 16 completions in 5 of the past 7 games. It's target share of not a lot of targets. But when Kirk Cousins is throwing, the majority are going to Adam Thielen, and you're banking on the talent. We all agree, just to the eye test, to the just the forgetting fantasy, one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, just on a skill as a skill standpoint, right? From that point of view.
Yeah.
But you're right. It is a run-first offense, and his floor is lower than most in terms of elite wide receivers. As we've noticed, he's now had consecutive games under 6 fantasy points. He has 4 different games this year with under 40 receiving yards. He's been sort of kept afloat by the touchdowns. I think he has 7 touchdowns on the year off the top of my head. And so that's helped. Yes, but I think you have to keep rolling him out there. But I think lower wide receiver 2 than the top five guy he was at the start of the year.
Stefan, a little bit of news or noise here on Calvin Ridley as the Falcons head into their bye. Any comment whatsoever that you've seen from Raheem Morris, their interim head coach, about Calvin Ridley's foot progress?
Not since the game.
Okay.
But before the game, remember, he was saying that he was doing really well in rehab. In fact, they wanted to test him on Friday and see how he looked before they played him in the game. I think the fact that the facility was closed because of COVID restrictions, they never got the chance to see him work out. They weren't comfortable taking a shot on game day. And you have to think that they could factor in, it's got to help him to have one more week of rest with a bye. Why push it, especially with midfoot injury? We talk about this ad nauseum, I'm sure, how nuanced these injuries can be. So I would think he has a good shot to play when they come out of the bye.
By the way, the Falcons are playing better of late, but they're still so far out of this thing. And Calvin Ridley, who's playing for an interim coach, no GM, what's the motivation to rush that guy back into the lineup? He is a huge part of your future, one of the best young wide receivers in the entire game. If I'm Atlanta, I'm going to be smart. Olamide Zaccheaus had a nice game, 4 catches for 103 yards and a touchdown. If you played him in daily fantasy, good job by you. But if Stefania says there's at least a chance of playing week 11, hard to envision adding Zaccheaus right now on the waiver wire. Any disagreement there, Matthew?
No disagreement there at all.
Okay.
I mean, we've seen it before. He had one big game and then sort of disappeared.
Games. For the Falcons, it's kind of like the Packers wide receivers. You got a few guys that could contribute next to Devontae Adams, but they also could go for donuts.
Yeah. The one thing I'll say about the Falcons pass catchers is that, are we underrating Hayden Hurst?
A little bit,
Because, not that Hayden Hurst has been amazing, but you know what he is? He's been consistently decent and in a position that has been a wasteland outside of Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
Because obviously Kittle got hurt. Mark Andrews has been very inconsistent and brutal. Zach Ertz was brutal and now is hurt. Darren Waller, the baller, he's been good. But, it's a short list. As the late great Bum Phillips used to say, not saying Travis Kelce's in a class by himself, but it doesn't take long to call the roll.
He might be in a class. He is in a class by himself.
Yeah.
That much, I believe. Yeah.
But right, Hayden Hurst, I'm just saying, I think is an underrated fantasy tight end this year.
Kyle, let's bring it on home with some trivia today.
We'll give you Hayden Hurst. Top 10 tight end in four straight weeks, so I would agree that he's underrated. Geico trivia today. Who leads the league in yards per pass attempt? Very simple question.
Okay, is there a qualifier? Like how many he has had?
Just has to play the quarterback position. It's nobody that's played like three games.
This guy's been playing a lot. Who leads the league in yards per pass attempt this season? Stephon, your math. You want to start?
Josh Allen.
Yeah, I mean, like, here's what's weird. I'm trying to outthink myself because you think about, like, Russell Wilson, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, some of the guys that, like, just have cannons for arms. Mm-hmm. But then he always gets tricky. So could it be somebody like Derek Carr that you don't expect or Joe Flacco, who I knew?
Are you trying to guess every single one so that you get gauge Kyle's reaction? Give an answer.
I think it's one of the guys I just mentioned. I'm going to say Derek Carr.
Stefania, you are.
I went with Josh Allen. I threw it out there.
Allen. I'm wrong.
I went obvious.
Matt Ryan, he's had success with that doing in the past.
Yeah. Josh Allen is sixth. Ooh. Derek Carr, 15th. Matt Ryan, 12th. Nobody Matthew named was the right answer. Kirk Cousins, 8.88 yards per pass.
Love that. You don't like that. You love that.
No.
You love that.
I thought Joe Flacco was over 9.
Joe Flacco's played like two games. He didn't hit the – I can look at Flacco.
Joe Flacco's yards per pass attempt, I'm almost positive, is over
Matthew,
9.
Matthew, you came in last.
Maybe last night. Maybe.
I'm
Matthew,
just saying.
You came in last.
Oh, man.
Kirk you know Cousins. That?
Hey, 15th. We are back tomorrow with
Listen,
some rankings.
In a country that is so divided, and everyone arguing, I have to tell you, one thing I think we can all come together as a nation is that we all hate Kyle's trivia questions.
Not even close. We're back tomorrow for more trivia.
So annoying.
More trivia only.
Unbelievably annoying.
For Matthew, Stefania, and Kyle on field. Out to Wednesday.
New episode of The Fantasy Show on ESPN+. Plus. No trivia from Kyle on it. Check it out. Peace out.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.